Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the 286-horsepower TL Type S with a sport-tuned suspension. Learn more at Acura.com.
A quick announcement before we get started. Poetry Magazine has a new podcast. Each month, the Poetry Magazine podcast features poems and articles from the upcoming issue of the magazine. In the new December program, poems from the home front by Fiona Sampson and the mysterious Atsuro Riley.
Nary a one of the Brungholms, Brungholm whole.
Also, editor Christian Wyman and senior editor Don Scher talk about Ezra Pound and Clive James's brutal reevaluation of his greatest poem.
He really sums the thing up by saying that maybe what the cantos is or are, and this is Clive James' great phrase for it, a nut job blog before the fact.
Yeah, that's terrific, isn't it? Yeah.
Check it out on poetrymagazine.org, or better yet, subscribe on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and type Poetry Magazine in the search bar. This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, December 5th, 2007. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, English as you've never heard it. Some of you may have heard of the video game called Dance Dance Revolution. It's also the title of a book of poems published earlier this year. Herb Leibowitz, the editor of Parnassus Poetry in Review, says the book was eye-opening.
When I started reading Dance, Dance, Revolution, I knew after a page that I was in the hands of an original artist.
That artist is Kathy Park Hong. She's a young poet who grew up in Los Angeles and who now lives in New York. Dance, Dance, Revolution is a collection of poems and a futuristic fiction with a fairly complicated plot. The main character is a tour guide who used to be a South Korean dissident. She works at a resort city called The Desert in the year 2016. She speaks in dialect.
I speak some Hangukki, Finnish, good bit of Latin, East Spanish, some Toto, Desert Creole, and ever-changing diptong, pendable on mind mood, Ibid.
Kathy Park Hong says that this character and her invented dialect just kind of
popped up in my head. You know, actually, I grew up kind of speaking Konglish, you know, Korean and English, actually. So it wasn't so far off for me.
Hong got to thinking about what English might sound like in the future, and out came the guide's mashup of American slang, archaic English, Spanish, Korean.
It's really not so far off from what I hear in the streets. My book was just basically a hyperbole of that.
The book isn't all in dialect. The second voice belongs to the historian, who tells us what's going on in very somber prose.
Gwangju is a provincial capital in the southern part of South Korea. After a dictatorial takeover in 1980, the citizens of Gwangju rose up to protest the coup, only to be brutally massacred by the U.S.-backed Korean government.
Now, that really happened, and the Gwangju massacre forms a backdrop of violence and oppression in the poems, which makes Dance Dance Revolution political poetry. According to Herb Leibowitz, political poems are not so easy to pull off.
Political poems, especially in America, are not successful because they are either too didactic, too full of bromides. It's like the imagination is absent.
Not so in the case of Kathy Park Hong. Leibowitz says that you can't overestimate
the audacity of a poet who takes on so many different tasks and so many different subjects and manages to hold all of them, to juggle all of them without any of the balls toppling.
Here's the narrative of Dance Dance Revolution that helps to keep all those balls in the air. The historian has gone to the desert to meet the guide, who back in Korea was a lover of the historian's father. The book is part tale of the guide's past life in Korea and part tour of this weird city. For this program, we're going to hear just a few of the poems in the book as a kind of sampler. The first one is a description of the fancy toilets in the faux Russian hotel where the guide works. Don't worry if you don't understand every word. You'll get the gist. It's called The Washrooms of St. Petersburg.
Behold, the toilet gurgle a flush kaputs and zips second. The porcelain not clam cold, but warm. like oven-loined mitts, urging ye waste to dive into cleanest ammonia pond. The buttons and toilet manifold, pequeño as mung beans, one for concierge if you suffering belly ache, another to squirt a fountain of water to wash ye besmirched hole after satis, one that will pipe in Wagner or disco, then perfume to fume the awful air. So comfy. Gratis latrines make you want to sit on its porcelain domus. You read great literature. Mind over matter, Samsy. Mind over matter. Even if you ate bad mulligatawny, your mind's fog will curdle to clearest thought balloon. Reflect and house ye wise and dazed events. Or think, fist-propping chin about being. Yes, sentient being. You may ponder sense or essence. Or you may muse back evening before in Blue Lumen Lounge when you had sensual tension with tenderone lass with ye knees be kissing neath the table. Toilet so seductive ye tush vacuum to hole stuck like fire ant trapped in him own feast a glacéd peach pie.
The washrooms of St. Petersburg. The other poems in the book aren't all so earthy. They range from comedy to elegy. In the next poem we're going to hear, the guide tells the historian about her birth in Korea and somehow manages to be funny, political, and elegiac all in the same lyric. Some quick background. The guide's mother was a famous pansori singer. Pansori is kind of a Korean flamenco or blues that could go on for many hours. And her mother died just a few days after she was born. This was in 1960. Just as the dictator Ri was being forced into exile in Hawaii. This poem is called Song That Breaks the World Record.
Eyes born on first day, O unrest. Huzzah, the students who fight in police boy Patos. In gangrene smoke, youngins through butane colas chanted poor old Katinka Ri to step down. He did. Chased out on a perma holiday, Hawaii him elba. Fizzy ale, spilling street, Korea celebrating, no money for balloon swiney, ticket tape parade, but Koreans have unabashed national succotash. Whole country batty drunk carpe servici aroused like itchy vigra man. All but my mother, allure drunk medic, swished out clinics to celebrate, so she all him she self, alone in hospital, yowling from labor. But expert she is, bore 10 chillens whom all die before reaching age 1. Her heart a grave of infants me, tragic mum. Breathes she pansori breath like fire breather accordion, dumb spear a sparrow. E pop me out me, yeller father, hid home hiding from froth of birth's labor, ye labor o revolution. Eyes boomerang out, slipshod onto blood tile floor, a squalling bile newborn. So happy she rasped song sought to voice after eyes born. See she voice so famous, a fable of myths. Even now, Samsy, you can buy her CD in the World Muzak section. No pull'em you leg, she sing song, longest song ever, singing rasping ras pain. Mind the gap, by the way, hawking, coughing with one beat till husking one note, cun co bell, she like a bayou whaler. In stubble field etched by winter's acid light, she retch her notes, e spectre's wall of sound, chilled a tympanum, a all this hanum who pause, listen, ye cry, 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 for being a cursed Korean. Singing while carrying me bundle home, till eyes a week old before she collapsed to she death, she hum her last notes. A martyr spun nettle out of a silk shorn dress, a lice lace boot to my heart, and unyoung I rest.
And unyoung I rest. What a great line to end that poem. That was Song That Breaks the World Record. The last poem we're going to hear is a hymn of sorts to racial and cultural intermarriage. The guide is describing to the historian various couples that they're looking at in some kind of public park. The poem is called Toasts in the Grove of Proposals.
Lo, brandied man in rabbinical cape dab rosy musk and goy's gossamy nape. E brassy brahm in papoost in sari's saffron sheet swoon bind fair waspian in him wingtip feet. Let's toast to bountiful gene pool to intramarried couple breeding beige population. Lo, union o husky ontarian, e teacup-sized Tibetan wreath and honeysuckle e dew-studded bracken. Lo, union o Cameron groom kissing e Gaelic gammon's cheek and miscegenated more than seem to reek. Let's toast to bountiful gene pool to intramarried couple breeding beige population. Clap away, Greek chorus, a gay sashaying crowd. Clap away, chatty flackman, neprina packman. Bind forth ruby-lined pachyderms who trundle here proud. Bind forth mothers who nag for proposal enactment. Let's toast to bountiful gene pool, to intramarried couple breeding beige population.
I think we could all toast to that. That's Kathy Park Hong. The book is Dance, Dance Revolution, and it's published by Norton. In addition to the Poetry Magazine podcast I mentioned at the top of the program, the Poetry Foundation is also debuting another new podcast. This one's hosted by Kenneth Goldsmith, the creator of Ubu Web. The program is called Avant-Garde All the Time.
And in this series of podcasts, we'll be giving you a tour of the more obscure gems buried deep within this trove of Ubu Web at ubu.com. This week, we'll be focusing on John Giorno's poetry systems and dial-up poem poets, a series of LPs that he put out beginning in 1968 and going all the way up into the mid-80s.
Snippets of Patti Smith, Eileen Miles, Frank O'Hara, and many others featured in the debut podcast of Avant-Garde All the Time. Look for it at poetryfoundation.org and on iTunes. Thanks to everyone who has reviewed this podcast on iTunes in the past few months. You can write your own review in the iTunes store. And do let us know directly what you think of this program, where we try to create a place
so comfy. Gratis latrines make you want to sit on its porcelain domus and read great literature.
Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.